Amen. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. And we're going to be opening our Bibles to, first of all, the book of Romans chapter 7. I'd just like to mention that we are planning a trip to Michigan at the end of the month. That would be the 29th. We're driving over to the ferry dock in Manitowoc and taking the ferry across. And then going over to Cadillac. We're going to be holding services there on Friday night, the 30th, and Saturday night, the 31st, and Sunday morning, the 1st. Now, Sunday morning, we'll have Brother Lance here with us, Brother Donald Lance. I think most of you have heard him preach, and that will be great. He's going to fill in for me just for that day. So keep us in prayer about that trip. And then on Monday, we're driving up to St. Ignace and then up and around. On Tuesday, we'll be coming back, driving along the UP and then on down. So we're going to try and get a church started over there. They're going to need a pastor, so be praying about that. There are possibilities there. We're just asking that the Lord would raise one up quickly. Amen. There are so many things happening in these last days, and we need the help of the Lord to do what we're going to do before time runs out. Amen. So if you would keep us in prayer about that. Amen. Also, I'm planning to write the newsletter, or at least work on it, later this week. And then I want to have it written no later than next Monday. We'll be processing that then on the 24th, Sunday afternoon, the 24th, is when we'll be putting the newsletter together, the Lord willing. Or is it the 25th? Sunday is the 25th. And we'll be mailing it one day late, and just watch the phone calls come in. We hear about it all the time. Anyway, we're doing the best we can. Spending a lot of time and effort, and praise God for the strength that He gives us. We're going to open now to the book of Romans chapter 7. We're going to focus in on just one verse to begin with, and that is verse 5. But before I attempt to bring forth this message, I would like to have you pray with me, and let's ask for the Lord's help. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful, Lord, that we have thy holy book to open, thy word which is forever settled in heaven, thy word which hath all power. Lord, I pray now that thou wouldst move upon us with the greatness of thy Spirit, that thou wouldst stir our hearts and souls, that thou wouldst lift us up, O Lord, into those heavenly places in Christ Jesus. O Lord, that thou wouldst help us to realize and understand the time in which we live, discerning this time and knowing that the time is short and the days are evil. Help us, Lord, to look to thee, the author and finisher of our faith, for in thee there is remedy for sin. O Lord, thou hast called thy people unto holiness and righteousness, and by thy Spirit we can walk therein. Let thy will now be accomplished, we pray in Jesus' name. Let the devil be put to flight. Let him have no power over us. Amen. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 7, we're going to read one verse from which we will take the title of the message, and that title is The Motions of Sin. The Motions of Sin. Verse 5 says, For when we were in the flesh, notice that past tense, meaning when your flesh was ruling your life. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, of sins rather, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. And of course, Scripture says the wages of sin is what? It's death. It brings forth death. But I would like to tell you that the word motions there is a very interesting word. And if you check this out, it actually means, it comes from the same word as pathology, pathological. It's actually the word pathema in Greek, pathema. And it means the same thing as if you were to say, for an example, it's all right to have a little sin in your life, you know. Everybody's got a little sin in their life. That would be like saying we all need to have a little Streptococcus bacilli, or a little maybe Staphylococcus bacilli, or Ebola, or some pathogenic bacteria. Because here the Word of God is comparing sin to something that is pathological, something that will literally eat away at your body and your soul and bring forth death. As it tells us in the book of James, sin, when it is finished, meaning it is a a progressive state of being. If there is sin, it multiplies. You know, somebody told me one time, I was reading some report, I think it was where I found it, that if you go in the store and buy meat, like hamburger, and it's above a certain temperature, that bacteria doubles every 15 minutes. Doubles again, and pretty soon you're in real trouble. Sin is like that. And sin will increase and increase and draw you ever farther from God. And sin is actually a critical mass that is so explosive that eventually it destroys your life, your marriage, your status in the community. Of course, nowadays, it's hard to notice that. But there was a time when it was very noticeable. But sin is destructive, as bacteria is destructive. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot about the various types of bacteria, because that's not really my field. I know I have working knowledge of microbiology, but that's not really my field. And it doesn't have to be your field to be able to talk about it a little bit, does it? It's kind of like the guy that goes into a used car lot and looks at a Chevrolet and says, "Chevrolets are junk." And the car dealer says, "Well, what makes you an expert on Chevrolets?" He says, "I'm not an expert on Chevrolets, I'm an expert on junk. And I can tell you that I know what sin does. Sin, it will destroy, literally rip apart every fiber of your being. Sin is lightly regarded, just as God is lightly regarded. And Calvary is lightly regarded these days. And we need to bear down on the urgency and the importance of salvation and what Jesus came to do. So the Bible says here that we were in the flesh, and the motions, the pathology of sin was at work. Let's go back now in the Old Testament for a little while and see how highly important this is and how God regards it, because it's not something you can just talk about, but literally, and I think this is what preaching is, literally, you must set the trumpet to the mouth and declare a state of emergency. Because this world, this country in particular, is in a state of emergency because it is gripped with the lethal power of sin. And it's accepted not only in the street, but in the churches. And this country has been taken over by queers. It's been taken over by Illuminists, by people who are literally servants sold out to the devil, and they're in high places, and they are running things. That accounts for the condition of our country. Furthermore, I think that if you look around even a little bit at what's going on in our country, the disasters, I know God is judging. You couldn't miss it. And yet most people don't regard it as such. They say God would never do those things. He would never send floods and fires and earthquakes and tornadoes and all kinds of devastation. And now it has been officially declared that we are in the worst drought condition. This is out west now, primarily in the worst drought condition in 500 years. It's bad, folks. Things are happening as a result of sin. Sin. The absolute refusal to repent, being defiant against a saving God who would willingly take sins away and wash them away forever and give you peace in your heart. And furthermore, you would be surprised at how many allergies and how many infirmities will disappear when you totally repent and then let, when I say repent, I mean let go of the sin and not go back to it, to turn your back on the sin. And let God do a healing work in you. Sin is pathological. Look it up in your Strong's Concordance. Unrepented of sin, and one of the greatest of them is unbelief. Unbelief is sin. How can we not believe God when we see His handiwork? How could we not believe Him when we look at the creation that He made? And when He said in His Word, "I made this by my great power." Amen. The process of weather, evaporation, condensation, distillation, all the miracles. Look at your salt shaker in this humid weather and see how the salt all clings together because of something called deliquescence. It takes on water. And even though it appears to be relatively dry, it's full of water. If you heat it up, it gives off all kinds of water. And that's called efflorescence. Look at the flowers, how beautiful they are this time of year. Who could make something so beautiful and with such design and intricate design? It's beautiful. How could we not believe God? And then we see those flowers grow, and then we see them in the fall. They fade and they wither and they die. The Lord is constantly showing us that's the way of life, that we are all, all of us are going through that same process. We do all fade as a leaf. And what did he say? And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. The Lord has come against that pathological condition to set you free through the power of his blood. But it is truly an emergency situation. In Hosea chapter 8, it says, set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant, my agreement. God made an agreement with us. And trespassed against my law. That was the condition of Old Testament Israel. And of course, New Testament Israel is going to find parallels here. You see, we have a covenant too. It's a new covenant. And we struggle with sin also. But we are to have victory over it through the blood of Jesus Christ. First, let's look at Old Testament Israel and see if we can draw some parallels here to New Testament Israel, you and I. In verse 2, it says, Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. All right, notice that. My God, we know thee. That's what they cry. But it says, Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. Now, what happens when you, first of all, you cast off what is good? See, that's where sin begins, really. When you set down and cast off, throw away that which is good, the enemy pursues you. That's why we love the Word of God. We love to come and hear it. We love to be here and be strengthened by it. We love to sing the praises of God. Now, if we would cast that off, what's going to happen to us? The enemy pursues us. What happens when you miss one service? It's harder to get to the next one. What happens if you miss two in a row? It gets more difficult. You really, for some reason, you don't even know why, you really don't feel like you want to go back. What happens when you miss three in a row? It gets harder and harder and harder. And before long, you find the enemy pursuing you. Because when you cast off what's good, the devil's right on your tail. Right there. And the way to have success in serving God is to be consistent. Always faithful. It says, Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. Remember Mary and Martha? How Jesus came there and here was Mary sitting at his feet listening to his teaching, being ministered to, and Martha was out there, and she was in the kitchen, and she was straightening things out and cooking things, getting everything all ready, and she started to get mad. And the reason she got mad is Mary was sitting there listening to Jesus, and she was doing all the work. So she went to Jesus and said to him, why don't you tell her to come and help me? And Jesus said, there's only one thing that's needful, just one thing. And Mary hath chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken away from her. You see, the Word always has preeminence over all things. No matter what is in your life, what you have to do, there's nothing more important than the Word of God. Because that's what's going to keep you right. That is what's going to put sin in its place and out of place in your life. It's what's going to draw you into a closer walk with God to make that right choice. Amen. But because Israel cast off the good thing, the enemy would pursue Israel. And then it goes on and says this, and again, I parallel this with our country right now, with the United States. It says, they have set up kings, but not by me, There are those that say, whoever's in charge, you do whatever they say, just follow them, whatever it is, carte blanche, just completely yield to them. I don't believe it. The reason I don't believe it is because if you follow that through, you'll find yourself at the post office getting the mark of the beast when they start handing it out. Right? Is it possible for kings to be set up but not by God? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do it, don't they? They have made princes, and I knew it not, meaning I didn't acknowledge them. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Now, that doesn't mean just to fashion it out of silver and gold, but to spend money building these idols. They just laid the cornerstone for another big idol in our country, one that's going to be 1,776 feet tall at the site of the former World Trade Center. And they laid this big, huge monstrosity of a stone there, big monolith down there. Now they're planning to build this big skyscraper reaching high into the sky. They call it, I believe, the Freedom Tower. And you know, people idolize things like that. They look at the work of men's hands, whether it be a statue or whether it be a building or structure or complex or the space program or science in general, whatever they're idolizing. People have idols in their hearts. They look at what is made and refuse to acknowledge the true maker, which is God. They might make things of raw materials, but God made things without raw materials. And God made the raw materials. And one of the problems is in Romans chapter 1, is when they start to worship the creature instead of the creator, one of the next thing you find is a society full of queers. Sodomites, homosexuals. Read Romans 1, look at the digression there as they go deeper and deeper into sin, and you get to that last straw where people accept queerdom. They accept the pansy boys and the faggots, whatever you want to call them. Well, they call themselves that, each other, so I'm just using their terminology. I'm not trying to be unkind, but I'm trying to label sin as sin and to show you the pathology of it. These people are dying and they're spreading their death everywhere else. And our government says, you don't dare lift your voice against them because that wouldn't be conforming to public policy, and you just can't do that. Or you're a homophobe, or you're this or that. They got labels for you. The Bible has a lot to say about these things, folks. Sin is pathological, and literally, too, not just spiritually. Look at all the diseases being spread by sin. And so God said, they've taken their silver, their gold, meaning their wealth, their prosperity, and they've made idols that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Now, isn't that interesting? Samaria had a calf, golden calf. They worshiped the golden calf, and it cut them off. You know what it means to be cut off? It's another way of saying they were damned. Damnation, perdition. Perdition means eternal damnation. Cut off because of a calf. I think it's rather interesting that these Schofieldites, hyper-Schofieldites, are talking continually about this red heifer, this calf, that they have tried to clone and put together, and it hasn't really worked, but they're going to kind of make it work. And how these evangelists get on television nowadays, and they'll stand there and talk about this red heifer, and how this red heifer, when the time comes, will walk up the hill of Calvary and turn and look back on the city that it's being sacrificed would save Jerusalem. Kind of interesting, because the Bible mentions thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. In other words, it's a double cross, isn't it? What did Jesus do? Is there any other blood that can save? A red heifer? No. The Lord doesn't accept any of those sacrifices anymore and never will. And notice what he's saying here. People will cling to the calf, but the calf has cast them off. Their calf god has forsaken them, double-crossed them, thrown them back. Our God would never do that. He says, "Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workman made it. Therefore, it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces." How can you tell if it's not God? If man made it, how can it be? There should be no strain there. How can man make anything that's greater than himself? Oh, they have fiction stories like that, fictional stories like, remember Frankenstein? How this evil professor went out in Germany and robbed graves and put body parts together and then sent Igor out for a brain and put this whole thing together, put spark plugs in his neck, hooked him up to the lightning and, you know, hit him and he came alive. He had this big monster. This big monster. It looks just like John Kerry, except for the spark plugs. But anyway, he made this big monster to go out and do his bidding. But in the end, the monster turned on him and killed his own maker. It's kind of interesting because that tale was taken from an old Jewish fable found in the Talmud called the Golem. The Golem teaching is that high-powered rabbis, Lubavitchers, whatever you want to call them, in the last days will make a man, a giant man, out of the mud of the ground and put Hebrew markings in his chest and do their little hocus-pocus Talmud thing over him. He'll come alive as a superhero to rise up and rule the world and do their bidding. Did you ever hear of an Antichrist? This is what's taught in the synagogue schools. The Golem. And so that's what Frankenstein was actually derived from that tale. So we see that if we look at the Bible, God looks at all of this, and not only is he displeased, but he's going to bring judgment upon it. He says, "Therefore, it is not God." Why? Because man made it. "But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind." Incidentally, do you remember the president's speech when he was first inaugurated? And he talked about the whirlwind? Anybody remember that? Well, maybe not. But if you check it out, he talked about the whirlwind. And not in a good context either, if you look it up, as far as what was going to come upon this country and so forth. And people didn't catch that. You know, the Illuminati was there operating, pulling the strings, running the show. Does the devil use scripture? Yeah, he can quote it. If he'll quote it directly to our Lord, yeah, he'll quote it to you. Now, it says, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up." In other words, there's going to be a lack of prosperity, is there? You might say, well, people are still driving around and pulling boats behind them and campers and RVs and all. Yeah, you know, they do it with plastic money, which is no money at all. You know, first it was gold and silver and then currencies and then credits and currencies and then credit and credit cards. And people are in debt and they have their houses and properties attached to their line of credit, so that if one thing is repossessed, they take all their property. This country has been set up for the kill, which is coming and coming soon. How do I know? Because of the level of sin, which is measurable. And the Bible says when sin comes to the full, when those vials are filled, they will be poured out as vials of wrath. Their sin will come back on their own pate. They will be judged by their own works. They'll be taken in their own snare. It's not going to be a pretty picture. That's why it's so vitally important that we have sin removed from our lives by our gracious Savior who is able to take our sins away. And so if we do find prosperity, what happens to it? Strangers shall swallow it up. And who is on the other end of the long arm of Red China? Walmart. And are they getting arrogant? You see, they're setting up this radio frequency ID system, and they are going full throttle into this thing. They're going to mark everything. And it's all part of the plot. A can of Coke, they have that on display now, that they can pick up by satellite. Remember their commercial that they're doing? You'll hear it on the radio pretty soon. This is all going to be an Olympic thing, too, the time of the Olympics, which happens to be the 33rd Friday of the year, and it's Friday the 13th, 13 days after the witch's Sabbath of Lunasa. That's what they pick to start the Olympics off and light the cauldron. Do you see anything going on here? Anything smack of witchcraft? Yeah. Oh, yeah, because, as a matter of fact, as far as that goes, look around you. Look at faces. Watch people. You can tell they've been to Harry Potter movies. You can tell they've been to the Lord of the Rings. You can tell that they have literally channeled their brain into these things, and things have been channeled into their brain by these things. And you see the young children, children of all ages, young adults and so forth, they have death on their faces, and they cannot ascertain nor receive truth because it's blocked out. They are so full of witchcraft, mind bondage spells, hypnotic spells, that they can't hear. They can't hear at all spiritual things. I'm going to hold the page and go over to John for just a moment. John chapter 8. Jesus said in John 8:43, "Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot," C-A-N-N-O-T, "ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." They could not hear. He said it. "Even because ye cannot hear my word." When you are in a condition where you can't hear God, you can't hear his word, you are absolutely deaf to it, then there is no hope. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, you cannot be saved. We have saving grace because we have saving faith. The faith of Christ brings us to faith in Christ. Now, this gets rather interesting because he's talking about a people who can't hear anymore. A people that, you can see it on their faces, by the millions. They've all gone and been indoctrinated by witchcraft. Witchcraft in the churches. The devil running wild in the churches. The devil standing in the pulpit with his flowery words, with his version of flower power, Ewige Blumenkraft, eternal flower power, very passwords of the Illuminati itself in Bavaria. But when you have wealth, strangers shall swallow it up. And what is Walmart connected to? You know, they come into a city and they say, "Oh, we help the city so much." They pull money out of that city and send it out. It goes out of the city. A little bit stays. That's what they major on. But the majority of it goes out. And the majority of that goes to Red China. That's where they get all their stuff from. Well, there's some exceptions, but not many. In Red China, they're driving around in big fancy cars. They're throwing their bicycles away. They're going to make the same mistake the Americans did. They're going to get fat and lazy and die. That's what prosperity does to people. If you don't have God, sin will kill you. But it's really something, you know, here in our country, you go around and see everything is made in China, made in China, made in China. It used to be made in Japan. Now China has taken over the economics. You drive down the street, go see a construction site. Great big backhoes and earth movers, and used to be Caterpillar tractor and that. Now it's Isuzu and all these Korean things, Hyundai and whatever kind of crazy things. What happened? Even heavy equipment. You can see our country is dying the death, isn't it? On every hand. Strangers swallowing up the wealth, swallowing up the increase, and it's because of sin. Israel, now bear in mind, we are connecting this with New Testament Israel, so it's not just the backward glance. Look to right now. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Not only is the wealth taken from the country, the prosperity taken from the country, but they look at this country as a vessel with no pleasure. One of derision and scorn and mockery. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. So we lost our prosperity, so what do we have to do? Well, on the credit we have left, on the building up the national debt ever higher, we literally hired among the nations, verse 10. We bought the support of other nations. We went into Iraq, what did we do? We wanted to bring in all these other nations along with us, right? Or any kind of, another thing that is done is we've joined in with this NATO thing, this Northern Army. All these things are coming together, one world government. But it says they have hired among the nations. Now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin. Altars shall be unto him to sin. So when they go to church, they go to where their altars are, it's sin unto them. When the very thing that's supposed to be the remedy, is thought to be the remedy, esteemed to be the remedy, is the problem, then Satan has really done a number. And he set up all these televangelists, all these religions, all this entire system unto sin. And people are confused out there. They say, I go to church, but all this goes on. I don't know what to do. Children are all into this Harry Potter witchcraft and all this stuff. And some people go and they see it and they don't know what to do. If I leave it, where do I go? If I leave it, who's going to bury me? As I've said before, somebody will. Just get out of there. Avoid it like a deadly, poisonous rattlesnake in your midst. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. God said he would see to it that you would be all right. If everybody would do that, he could put together real churches. But they hang around and hang around and listen to that guy drone on and on, if they can find where to plug him in first, drone on and on about how there's good magic and there's bad magic and all this, and you can do your yoga exercises and all this and meditate and little Buddhism won't hurt, all this kind of stuff. These churches are absolutely fried, and it's time to say sayonara to every one of them. When you come out, you might be all alone, but pray that others will see it too, and pretty soon you'll have like-minded people, and then God will raise up a pastor. That's the answer to it. God said, I will raise up shepherds with a heart after me. But as long as you sit in Babylon, you'll sit in Babylon and be destroyed with Babylon and with her plagues. Amen. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Are we living in a period of time when good things are strange? Huh? When it's odd for a young girl to be a virgin? To be in high school, maybe in 10th or 11th grade, and still be a virgin? Unbelievable. That's the way they think out there. When good things are strange. Well, they sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it. But the Lord accepteth them not. Oh, they go through the religious motions, but they are motions of sin. The Lord regards it not. It is a religious pathology. You know, I used to tell people, these parents take their young children, little toddlers, and send them off to nursery school, right? Daycare center, so they can both go and work. And I say, you know, and they come back, and they've always got a runny nose, and they're always coughing, and they're always sick. Why is that? Well, for one thing, in a literal sense, it's a hotbed of bacteria. And you put all these children together and neglect your duties as a parent and shuffle them off somewhere else. Sure, they get sick. It's a hotbed of bacteria, but it's something more than that, too. There's a spiritual bacteria there. And the system is running your children. Head Start is running your children. You have yielded them over to the government. Back in Russia, they used to take the children from the parents. The parents didn't want to let them go after the revolution. When Stalin set up his schools, did you know the public school system is in the Communist Manifesto? Did you know that? It's really government school. But they take the children away from the parents at a young age, sit them in a classroom, and teach them all about their father, Stalin and Lenin. In fact, one of the things they did is they say, you know, the Westerners say that there's a God, and if you pray to him, he will give you bread. Little children, just little tiny children sitting there. And they say, now go ahead and pray to him. And the teacher leads this little insulting prayer, and nothing happens. And then they say, now we will ask Father Stalin for bread. And they do, and trapdoors open up above, and all this bread comes down. The children, oh, Father Stalin. Well, what have they done here in America? You didn't have to take the children from the parents. They willingly drop them off. Even pay money to get rid of them. So they go and collect a check. And you might say, but yeah, if we didn't, we wouldn't have any money. Have you ever tried appealing to God with all your heart and saying no to that system and see what God will do? But I don't see a way. You don't have to see a way. He makes a way where there is no way. Have we ever learned that yet? When there is no conceivable way, there's still a God in heaven who makes a way where there is no conceivable way. People haven't tried. They're being moved by the motions of sin. They are in a state of pathological decay, withering away on the inside. Remember that first verse we read, the motions of sin. Pathema in the Greek. Pathema. Motions of sin, the pathology of sin, the bacteria of sin, the eating and rotting away of sin, not only of the individual, but of sin interacting between people. Which is one of the reasons that fornication is so bad, because you've got double trouble there, because you have motions of sin working in two or more people and connecting with everybody else that they were in touch with. Motions of sin! You see? They'll come into a home and tear it apart and turn the children against the parents and the husband against the wife and the wife against the husband. Motions of sin. And it will kill you. Some of these women think, well, you know, they get this Barbie doll complex. I'm going to get myself all fixed up and dolled up. My husband doesn't look so good to me anymore. Somebody else there will love me better. Somebody else will want me better. Huh? They go running off And they find out they're worse off than they ever were. Their husband is sitting there crying. Their wife went off with some other guy. And it works the other way too. But in this day and age, there's a lot of women like that. And they put the old parfum on. Huh? Get themselves all dialed up, want to look nice for some other guy. They go off to work or off to wherever they're going and see what they can find. Ah, perfume. They ought to outlaw it. Huh? Like one woman, if she sprays on a perfume, you know, and the guy says, "What is that?" She says, "Sphinx." He says, "I know, but what's the name of it?" Huh? Get all dolled up, painted up, all decked out, ready to go. And they don't want to work. They want to be, they carry on that lifelong romance with themselves in front of a mirror. And they don't want to work. They leave all the work. Somebody else, some man will take care of me. Some man will give me money. You know why? Because I am cute. Huh? I've got that little peekaboo on, and they're just going to melt in front of me, give me all their money. And I can just stand there and be cute and watch my soap operas. Huh? Eat a little chocolate until I realize I shouldn't have, and then develop bulimia and puke it back out. Huh? Just so I can keep that belly button looking good. Right? Huh? Put on all that stuff, and oh, I'll tell you, that's the way it is. And these young girls at the shopping malls come in there and drove 7, 8, 9, 10 at a time. They all look like they came off a conveyor belt. All look the same. The devil has decorated them up. Just go to any one of those FWATCs, Future Wenches of America training centers, and you'll see that going on. And they'll go in there, and the thing that's on their mind is community property, community property, community property. I'll go and marry this guy, and it's once he says, "I do," huh? Then it's going to be echoing in my mind, "You shouldn't have." Because a little way down the road, I'll take half of what he's got and I'll go find another one. Hmm? And I'm not exaggerating. This is happening to 51% of the marriages in our land. Why? Because of the motions of sin. Motions of sin. The pathology of sin. They talk about pathological behavior. You have that right in that book in Romans 7, the motions of sin. And so we find that Israel has been swallowed up. Ephraim hath made many altars to sin. Altars shall be unto him to sin. And in the churches, they accept this too. Divorce, remarriage, divorce, remarriage, divorce, remarriage. No way. God doesn't allow for it. Amen. Once you're a Christian, never again. Everything changes. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What is part of that newness? Doing what's right. Amen. Somebody might have been married and divorced 20 times and come in that way. If they renounce it, repent, and turn to God and never think that way again, fine. Because everything's on the other side of the river then. And you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, but don't ever do it again. When you've got churches that do this, and you find here's a couple sitting in church, and a little while down the road they're split up, and they're sitting with somebody else that was sitting in church, and their spouse is sitting with the other person. It's like musical chairs. God said that's folly in Israel. Folly. Isn't it great to know that the one you got is the only one you can have? And isn't it wonderful when people believe that? And know that? Praise God. Well, I think it is. I think it's wonderful. The Lord confines us in holiness by His Word. And in that confinement, there is freedom from sin. Hallelujah. When you're shielded on every side from sin, there's only one direction where you can look up, and that is to look up, rather, and to see the freedom that the Lord has given you in rising above your circumstances in rising up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. Isn't that what they do? Boy, I'll never forget years ago, I was working down at UW Parkside, down in between Racine and Kenosha. And it was a Monday night. I stayed overnight down there on Monday night because I had to work Monday, Tuesday, and then Friday. So I just spent the night down there. Otherwise, it's 100 miles one way, you know. And so I went into the shopping mall. I had to buy a couple little things that I needed, and big shopping mall there. And I looked around in this big, huge place, and looking for a place where I needed to get like a little nail clipper and little things like that. Finally, I saw a drugstore. Now, in the drugstore, there weren't any drugs in there except way in the back. Everything else is all this makeup and perfume and stuff. And I walked down this aisle where they had all this makeup, and it was all Egyptian. I just started looking at boxes as I was walking. I was amazed. And it had these, it was some kind of EC stuff, you know, ISIS. And they had this picture in front of an Egyptian-looking woman with that kind of a head thing that they wore on there. And I even opened up a box and took the instructions out, which gave you step-by-step detail on how to apply this like they did in Egypt, you know. And I looked down there, and it was all occult. All this makeup was occult, 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 all the way down, up and down. I could hardly believe it. I really wasn't exposed to it that much. I always knew they were taking people for a ride, and I always knew that from the time I became knowledgeable that they take aborted babies and take the collagen from them and put that into the makeup products, that you actually wear a byproduct of aborted babies on your face. But the occult patterns and so forth, I know, came right from witchcraft. I was actually stunned to see it. I was shocked. Most people don't pay it any mind. They just figure, well, you know, I don't care where this came from or who made this or who's profiting from it. It makes me look better. And nothing will make anybody look better, man or woman, than the shining, glowing power of God's Spirit on their face when they reflect the very true light of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the light, and then said, ye are the light of the world. When Moses said, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That isn't just that God's going to smile at you. It means that he puts his very image, which you were made in originally, on your face. Think about that. Huh? That we could shine in the image of God? That we could literally reflect his light to a dying world? Or we could allow the motions of sin to be at work? We should know better, though, because we spent most of our lives in it. And we see that the way of sin is the way of death. Now, the devil is continually working to try to keep you from remembering that. But thank God, we're not returning to Egypt. The motions of sin would lead us back there. But verse 14 says, for Israel hath forgotten his Maker. Do you think that this is a problem in the New Testament church? In New Testament times, have people forgotten their Maker? Has this country forgotten its Maker? But notice, when they forget that they forget their Maker, that doesn't stop their religious activity. For Israel hath forgotten his Maker and buildeth temples. They build temples, crystal cathedrals, kingdom halls. Huh? Big buildings, large edifices here and there. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and built of temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. Interesting, too, because over in the Israeli state, they built a big wall there, didn't they? Now the UN says you got to tear it down, it's illegal. They didn't get a permit from the UN. You know who's running things, don't you? But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Fire in the cities? Could there be fire in these U.S. cities? Is that in the realm of possibility? We've got a few minutes left here. I'm going to turn back. First of all, let me pause at 2 Chronicles 7:14, because here's the remedy. If my people, which are called by my name, again I say if, is the biggest word in the English language, because that little word determines one way or the other. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Sadly, I don't see it happening. Sadly, I see people tuned in and turned on by witchcraft elements, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Hollywood in general, all these other things going on. All the deception, I see that going on. I don't see repentance. I don't see people falling to their knees. I don't see President Bush in front of the whole nation falling to his knees and crying out to God on behalf of the nation. Didn't he take an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States? Not that that means anything anymore, but didn't he do it? You know what it means to be inaugurated? To inaugurate means to take omens. So he and any of the other presidents, including Reagan and from then on, took omens, looked at the Washington Monument, faced it, and took omens. Inaugurate. An augur in Rome was a fortune teller, a witch, to inaugurate. You might say, but that doesn't mean that now. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. If you look in the any good dictionary, it'll tell you to take omens. And of course, the word capital with an O means the temple of Jupiter. Look it up in the dictionary. It has two meanings and two only. First meaning, temple of Jupiter. Second meaning, the house, the building that houses our legislative body. That's what the dictionary says. Those two meanings. Temple of Jupiter that houses our legislative body. Just for a few minutes, a very few minutes, turn back to Deuteronomy 32. It's a lengthy chapter, so I can't read it all. I want to show you something here. In the first part of the chapter, it tells about how God blessed Israel. And certainly this nation had been greatly, greatly blessed. In fact, he said in verse 13, he made him to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats, with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun, now that's a name, a Hebrew name for Israel, to show Israel as a favorite. It's a favored name for Israel. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, watch this now, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. You see, what Jesus did needs to hit you hard. Calvary today in your life needs to be as if it happened yesterday. In fact, I'll go so far as to say you need to read the book of Acts like it happened yesterday. and then it'll happen today. They lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger, which means detestable acts. Are there any detestable acts being committed in our country? That provokes God to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up. They're always coming up with new something, this or that, right? Whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful. What did he say back there in Hosea? They forgot their maker. Thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. So caught up in the creation that they ignore the Creator. What a shame. What a tragedy. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. His sons and daughters provoked him. What does it say in the New Testament? That God has children. Some of them are cursed children. And he said, I will hide my face from them. And by the way, that curse doesn't come from witches. You don't have to fear that kind of a curse. If you're truly a Christian, a witch curse cannot harm you. Balaam found that out, didn't he? He tried to curse Israel and he couldn't do it. And Balak said why? He paid him good money for it. And what did Balaam say? How can I curse what God has blessed? And I get letters from people, oh, somebody's got a curse on me. I'm a good Christian, but I'm cursed. No, no. No. If you believe that, you're in trouble. But I can tell you there is a curse you need to fear. When God curses you, there's no help. There's no remedy. And he won't do it. He will not curse you unless you constantly provoke him to the point where you don't believe anymore. And you commit that unforgivable sin of unbelief and turn your back on him. That's a curse. And it can't be forgiven in this world nor in the one to come. That's how important obedience is. Now, it's difficult. God's so merciful that it's difficult to reach that condition. But it is possible. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. He's saying, here they are, they're my children, but they don't have any faith. Jesus warned of it in the boat that was about to sink. Where is your faith? He never told his children they had no faith. He said, ye have little faith, or where is your faith? Once he asked them, how is it? How is it that you have no faith? That was a very rare thing. These are children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, worthless things, foolish idols. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. I'll let other people come in, give them trouble. For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell. See, that's the wrath of God. He said, it's already been kindled. It's just getting started. How far will it go? How far will the wrath of God go? To the lowest hell! The lowest hell! And shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. Oh, do we have mischief going on? I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger, and devoured with burning heat, and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them, with the poison of serpents of the dust, the sword without, and terror within. Now you go over to foreign countries like Iraq and you find the sword, don't you? every day, 5 Marines dead, 4 Marines dead, 12 Marines dead, or soldiers, or whatever. And you know, there was a Humvee accident that just killed 4 Marines this morning. Weren't even being fired upon. I'm telling you, God is not pleased with this situation. It is not a holy war as far as God is concerned. As far as Illuminism, yes. The sword without and terror within, such is the condition of our country this very day. Terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin. What are they doing? They plan to draft them. Huh? There are many ways to destroy young men and virgins. Sin's destroying them here every day. The suckling also with the man of gray hairs. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. There are people saying, this isn't the doing of God, all this trouble we're having. Yes, it is. It's God's hand. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Did you ever listen to some of these senators talk? It isn't just President Bush that gets all, turned around in his speech. Listen to some of these senators. And I'll tell you what, there is such a denseness about them. You know, usually you think of senators and representatives, or should I say spenditors and representatives, as people that are pretty smart. There's a lot of them that are pretty dumb, and the evidence is out there. I've got a list from a travel agent who deals with these people in Washington, and you wouldn't believe how ignorant some of these people are of the simplest things, and they're running the country. Did you know that 80% of our congressmen are multimillionaires? And they're not paid enough to save that up in their little piggy banks. It's called under the table. Special interests. And if there's somebody they don't like, they get caught and make a big example out of them. The rest of them get away with it for a while. They're blackmailable, you see. Oh, that they were wise. That they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. In other words, the Lord's saying, oh, if they would just wise up and see what's coming. How should one chase 1,000 and 2 put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? In other words, remember how the Bible says we should have the power to put 10,000 to flight? Well, how are we going to do it, except that our rock be with us? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom. Here he's talking even about the, I know it's a spiritual, but he's also, this carries over into our agricultural. Spray all those chemicals on the field and all that stuff. It should be natural, shouldn't it? Kind of interesting. I read this report in this book years ago about this guy who was raising all these hogs, you know. And he said that his dad raised hogs and they ate the corn and they did fine on it. And he said if he fed his hogs just corn, they died of starvation. Now, if that be true of hogs, what are they feeding us? You can pile in the calories, but you're dying of starvation on the inside. Your immune system and your whole body is shutting down slowly. And they spray the chemicals in the air and put the poison in the water, and what do you got? For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. There's your food supply. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. And the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people. He'll what? He'll judge whom? His people. And repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, does God kill? And I make alive, which would it be? What would you rather have God do for you? And I heal, he says. I heal. You get rid of that bacteria of sin, the motions of sin, that pathema, that pathological condition, and you'll heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. She said, nothing can stop me. If I'm going to kill, I'll kill. If I'm going to heal, I'll heal. Remember we read the remedy back there in 2 Chronicles about repentance? For I lift up my hand to heaven and I say, live forever. I live forever, he says. If I wet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives, from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. But then he gives us verse 43. Rejoice, O ye nations. And he's talking about his people, Christians now, that are with him, that are serving him, with his people. For he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. So what do we have here this morning? The warning of a pathological condition. It's no coincidence that that word is used, motions, which means pathology regarding sin or pathological condition. When the mind is full of sin, you're a psychopath. That word pathology is all over the medical arena out there, isn't it? And we find its root word in the Bible, motions. Motions of sin. The only remedy, the only real cure for anything and for everything is full and complete repentance, forsaking of evil, and trusting in God to first remove the sin, and then he's promised to heal. Yahweh Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He once said to his people, I'll put upon you none of these diseases. What if you go whoring after their gods? What if you forsake the living God and go after sin? Well, the wages of sin is death. People sometimes get into some bad water. Over here in Milwaukee a while back, they had millions of gallons of raw sewage dumped into the lake and pulled it right back out and ran it into the water system. Cryptosporidium, remember? Boil your water. And then they tried to blame it on the cattle, you know, runoff from the cow manure in the fields. Oh, no, no, no. They'll grab at anything. Suddenly a whole city, a metropolis, is warned to boil their water. Cryptosporidium. There's pathogenic bacteria in there. I remember working with that stuff in biology. And you know, they said, Bob McMahon, my teacher, who I saw not long ago, he's very, very old now. I saw him at a Culver's in Clintonville. I said, Mr. McMahon, he says, yeah. You know, I was the president of the aviation club as well, and he ran that. He was a pilot. I don't know if he's flying anymore. But I ran into him, and I said to him, I still know what syntheosis is. He said, very good, you know. I taught you something, you remembered it. But anyway, we're talking a little bit, and I remember when he used to give us this bacteria. He said, no, this is pathogenic. Had a cotton plug in it. He said, flame everything, but don't flame the cotton plug. Because he had a Bunsen burner going there. And there was this red-headed girl next to me in the next lab station. She flamed the cotton plug. Boom! You know, big flame. But you treated it with great respect. You know, you get very nervous. If this stuff spills on you, you're going to get sick. What we did is we put it in nutrient agar, and then we used these little rings of different kinds of tetracycline and oreomycin and teramycin and all these different things to see which killed this type of bacteria the quickest. And so there's all different kinds of it. But just as you can get into some bad water or get food poisoning from hamburger that's been sitting out for hours or whatever, meat in particular, ham can be deadly, deadly, deadly. But anyway, you can get into some bad stuff. And when you do, you get sick. Pathology. And sin can so easily come into your life. It is a bacteria that enters through the eyes. You can sin with your eyes. You can sin with your ears. You can sin with your mouth. And this pathological substance will come in and make you sick. The Lord has the cure. If you truly repent, He'll take it all away. Amen. And so we look to Him with great hope, great expectation. I remember how carefully I used to take that nichrome wire and that bacteria. You couldn't see it, but you knew it was there. And I always washed my hands thoroughly, you know, and antibacterial. In fact, you know, you go in these supermarkets sometimes and grab a cart. Whose hand was there just before yours? And where was that hand? You know? You go up the stairs and grab the railing, doorknobs. By the way, one of the filthiest things there is holy water. Because everybody's finger goes in there. Somebody went in, it was in New York one time, they went, I think it was at St. Patrick's. They went and took a little holy water and checked it out. They said that, they analyzed it in the laboratory. They said that was the filthiest water that they had ever seen. It had every kind of known bacteria in it that's carried by humans. Just, it makes you feel creepy crawly just to talk a lot about that stuff, doesn't it? But that's exactly the way we ought to feel about the pathology of sin. The motions of sin. Would you stand with me? Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Lord, for thy word, and I pray that thou wouldst deliver us from the motions of sin. Strengthen us, Lord, and help us, I pray, to adhere to thy word always and to follow hard after thee. Let thy will be accomplished, O Lord. Let thy name be exalted, and I pray that thou wouldst strengthen us, O Lord, through the power of thy saving blood. Guide us and direct us in thy perfect way, we pray in Jesus' name. Keep us in the way everlasting. Let the evil one have no power over us. Amen.